have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 77 of We Have a Hulk podcast. I am your host, Nicola, and this is the other host,
Chris.
So it has been Easter weekend, so we've got all a couple of things to talk about at home with the Hulks, but otherwise in this episode, what are we going to be talking about then, Chris?
We're going to be talking about Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yeah,
so we've got a little review for you there. We're going to talk about Ready Player One.
Yes, as a well. Huge review.
Yes, huge.
Huge. Well, we're both like really big fans of the book, so this was quite a big one for
Definitely.
Yes.
We're going to be doing an interview with Lily G, who plays one of the cadets in Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yes.
And we've got some Hulk topics for you. Best book to film adaptations.
Yes. Well, I thought we'd Ready Player One. We might as well talk about our thing. Yeah, was, like, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, looking at all your responses on Twitter, thank you guys. A lot of them I actually haven't read, but I've seen the film, so I can't really... comment.
Okay, yeah. Fair play. If you haven't seen the books or you haven't seen the films, then how do you... Yeah.
How do I... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, dear. So, at home with the Hulks, what we've been up to, what we've been reading, watching, doing, Christopher?
So, it's been Easter. We went to Cambridge.
Yeah.
For a day, just because.
Yes.
We were going to play some Pokemon there, but it rained.
A lot. Well, it's bank holiday. It's England. What's it going to do?
Yeah, so I think we should move to Spain.
Yes, probably. No, Italy.
Italy, yes. Yeah.
Spain's getting a little bit too English. For
Maybe Greece.
Maybe Greece. Ooh. Let us know where we should move to. But yeah, they've started a Mew quest in Pokemon Go, and I've been wanting Mew for ages. Now we've got Mew soon. Mew is the next big thing, and you've got to do like quite a difficult like
quests.
eight-part research
yeah. quest.
Indeed.
And it's quite exciting. It adds a little bit of depth to the game, which has quite a bit of depth.
Yeah.
Because it didn't really have any depth.
It reminds me a lot of the Game Boy one. And they actually changed the graphics to like the Game Boy graphics.
Yeah, I really like that. I hope that they leave that as an option. I think
if you could toggle it on and off, I'd like it. But I don't really like it when I'm trying to work out what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't recognise half of them.
Exactly.
I recognise all the original ones. But,
So Cambridge was nice. Apparently Stephen Hawking was going to have a funeral there, and we didn't even realise.
We were literally there when it happened.
Yeah, how insane is that? We were like, are they doing a cycle race in here or something?
Mumber, what is happening here?
Yes.
Cambridge
is always really, really nice. Definitely want to check out if you're...
Yeah, we went to Byron and we stayed in a nice hotel.
And we went to the Forbidden Planet, got a lot of comics, they were pretty cool.
Yeah,
so good things. Then we went to Sick Up to your parents' house.
Yep, had Easter with my parents' sister and grandparents.
Yes, nice nanny, kind of scary nanny.
Nice nanny and scary nanny.
Yes.
And the dynamics were very interesting.
Very interesting. It was good.
I enjoyed it. It was quite chill, wasn't it? Didn't really do much.
No.
I could see you getting a little bit bored at times.
I nearly finished The Room, so that was good. No, Disaster Artist.
Disaster Artist.
Another book to film adaptation. So reading, watching. We've seen a couple of films lately, haven't we? We watched The New Bond with your parentals.
Yes, we saw Spectre on telly.
I like that one, yeah. And last night we watched Hitman's Bodyguard again. I love that film. It's now on Netflix if you want to go and check. If you missed it at the cinema, I definitely think it's worth it. It's just hilarious.
Yeah. Also, I've been getting on with some hobby stuff.
You have?
I got my...
Hobbycraft?
Yeah. I got my RC car out, my Nitro RC car. Trying to, like, tune that up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tune. And I got some, like, old server hardware. Just because I like to build computers. But, I can't really afford to build, like, brand new computers all the time. So I just decided I'm going to get, like, old server hardware and try and build things. And, like... make it a bit more difficult and interesting. So yeah, that's the thing that I'm doing. What about you? You doing anything else?
Well, I bought a couple of things from Forbidden Planet. I bought a Booster Gold and Blue Beetle graphic novel, which I kind of want to read because apparently it's quite good. So yeah, a bit of reading. Nearly finished The Disaster Artist. So hopefully get those done by the weekend. Anyway, so I think that was pretty much everything, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
All right, so on to the reviews.
Whoop, whoop.
We were born into a world at war. Between the monsters that destroyed our cities and the monsters we created to stop them, we thought we had sacrificed enough. But the war we thought we finished is just beginning.
So the sequel to Del Toro's Pacific Rim, possibly Marmitey film, was released on the 23rd of March 2018 in the UK. So this is directed by Stephen F. DeKnight. So stars John Boyega, Scott Eastwood, Kaylee Spaney, Bern Gorman, and Charlie Day.
Mm.
Which was an interesting, an interesting thing. So the synopsis goes, Jake Pentecost, son of Stacker Pentecost, reunites with Mako Mori to lead a new generation of Jaeger pilots, including rival Lambert and 15-year-old hacker Amara?
Amara?
15-year-old hacker Amara against a new kaiju threat. So, initial thoughts, Chris. Can I just point out one second here that Chris did actually fall asleep in this film?
All right. I need to, yeah.
It was funny.
I did.
He did the whole, stuff. You know when you look at someone and then their eyes go and then their like head moves up and then down, like, whoa.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often, but I was tired that day. It's surprising that I actually enjoyed this film.
Okay.
Going in, I wasn't too excited about it. I mean, I enjoyed the original, but yeah. It's not something that I was like, oh yeah, I gotta go see this film, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought it was all right.
Okay.
What about you?
I thought it was good for what it was. And you know what you want from this film, like monsters bashing robots. And yeah. It really delivered on that. I thought the graphics were great. The cars were pretty good. The story was interesting. I do prefer the story from the first film because it did kind of make a little bit more sense. Is that okay to say?
Yeah.
Hmm. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed the first film. So it was 2013. It was Del Toro. And yeah, I really liked that one, but I think it got bashed quite a bit. It's got 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
Usually I don't like the kind of monsters genre, you know, like we saw King Kong and everything.
Yeah.
But I enjoy this one. I think it's cool.
Okay, so we doing spoiler-free and then spoilers, or...?
Oh, we can try.
Okay.
We may try to do that.
Right, so let's go with story first.
What happened?
Okay, so it was new cadets training with the new Jaegers.
Yeah, I quite like that idea.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That was pretty cool. I liked John Boyega's character. I thought his storyline was pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked the kid's character as well.
Yeah, she was cool. She reminded me of someone, but I can't quite place who. But I liked that idea.
Had a bit of a Ender's Game sort of vibe.
Yes, that's what I was kind of going for.
Yeah, cadets, and they're recruiting them young, and so their brains can meld together or something.
What was that called? The, like, not handshake, but the...
It might have been a handshake.
Is it a handshake? Something like that, yeah.
Literal handshake or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of cool. I like that idea, and I like John...
how she was building the...
Yeah. Her robot was very Transformers-esque, though, wasn't it? It reminded me a lot of Bumblebee, which is kind of cool. Yeah. I do like Bumblebee.
Probably going for Bumblebee.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it kind of got a little bit weird halfway through, because you were like, oh, it's going in this direction. No.
I like that. That was,
okay.
That was interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, they kind of did go plablam and changed it a little bit. And yeah, up till then I was really enjoying it. And then the twisty was a bit weird. So I was a bit like, oh, okay. But then I really loved the new Jaegers and their new, like, the weapons and things. Mm. So it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's part of the reason I don't usually like monster films is that I just don't get why they're coming out of the sea to attack cities all the time. Like,
yeah.
But I felt like the twist in this actually kind of gave it some context and kind of explained it a little bit more. And then it was like, I can buy that.
I mean,
in this kind of film, I can buy that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Not anything can happen in this film.
I thought that was cool.
Okay, yeah. So let's go on to performances. So I think for me, it had a pretty good cast, actually. All across the board, they were pretty good. Except for, I'm sorry, Bern Gorman, who was in Torchwood. Yeah.
I'm
the crazy scientist guy.
Yeah, and he's putting on the real kind of, oh, I'm an old man, I'm slightly bent over, and I've got a really weird accent. And
I'm so British. Oh, la, la.
It was a bit much, but I didn't mind it, actually.
Yeah, it went with the film, I guess. So we had some returning characters. So we had Charlie Day's character, Dr. Newton Geisler.
Sure.
Yeah, you like Charlie Day. You're a big fan of Charlie
Day,
aren't you?
I like him, he's cool.
Bern Gorman returned from the first one, so Dr. Herman.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had some new, basically it was quite a lot of new cast. So we had John Boyega as Jake Pentecost. So he was the father?
The son.
He was the son of Idris Elba's character.
Right.
So if you've seen the first film, spoilers, he sacrifices
himself.
Dies,
guys.
Yeah. It's really sad. I love it just now, man. Do you know he's going to come to the Coventry to do a DJ set?
What? Really?
Yeah. How insane is that? I must go. Anyway. I really enjoyed his character. He's got so much charisma. I just think he really carried the film, and I thought he was really great.
Yeah, I thought they were cool. I think they could have spent a little bit more time getting you to know the cadets.
Yeah.
Like that seemed to be the better angle that they could have taken for me. Okay. But I don't know, it was all right.
He was basically chucked out of the cadet program because he was he did something. Oh, he tried to do a Jaeger by himself, didn't he, or something?
Yeah.
So, and he disgraced his dad, and then he got chucked out.
Because he fell over straight away.
Yeah.
He didn't even take a step. He just
He
thought he could do it on his own.
Yeah. Basically, he ran into the new character, so Amara.
Yep.
And those two basically got caught with the Bumblebee robot, and then they had to go back into the cadet program.
Hmm.
And he teamed up with his old Jaeger partner, Scott Eastwood's character, Nate, and they had to train the cadets. And I just thought, I quite liked their relationship, so Jake and Nate, I thought that was quite good. I always think Scott Eastwood's a little bit underplayed in the film he stars in, but I quite liked him in this.
Yeah.
He plays a good soldier.
Yeah.
And I also really enjoyed Amara, so Kaylee Spenny. I thought she was pretty good as a newcomer. Yep. And the rest of the cadets are great, so yeah.
Yeah, agreed on all fronts.
Okay.
What's next, Nicola?
So, we are going to be talking about the visual effects and the design and...
Yeah, look good. Yes.
Okay. I thought the robots were actually really... Robots and the monsters were really well done, which kind of took me by surprise a little bit.
I think it's easier to do robots than monsters
because
they're more sort of, they're like rigid shapes and stuff.
Yeah.
They look a little bit more, and it's fine when they look a bit robotronic because that's kind of what you'd expect them to be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it all looked good. It all looked good to me.
Okay. Yeah. I thought the big monster at the end was interesting.
The big kaiju thing.
Yeah.
I think that's when I fell asleep because I don't remember them like that thing happened. I'm going to try not to spoil it. The thing that happened, but I missed it.
I thought the new
kaiju.
Kaiju? I thought the new kaiju were interesting with their different weapons. One had like a chainsaw thing and a whip. And it was kind of interesting how they kind of took the designs from the first film and like made them bigger and better.
Oh, you mean the Jaegers?
Oh, Jaegers, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, because they had like, one of them had like a mace type thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was kind of interesting. I mean, I don't know if you'd do that. Would you do that? You wouldn't ever build giant robots like that anyway. No. So yeah, fair play.
So let's round this off with the rating, and then we can go into a little bit of spoiler later.
Okay, rating. I'd give it one thumbs up.
Yeah,
I did fall asleep, but I'm pretty sure I was just tired.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I thought it was
quite
good.
Excited about the film. So yeah.
What about you?
I think I would give it a one thumbs up. It was fun. It was monsters versus robots. Bashing around, a bit Transformers. Yeah. It was everything you want the film to be, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, if you were a fan of the first film, I definitely think you would enjoy this one.
Agreed. I think it had a little bit more kind of story and stuff, and you connected a bit more with people and things. So yeah, it was good.
So let's quickly round this off with spoiler chat. So if you haven't seen this, then just leave it here and then skip forward.
Yes.
So that twisty, what did you think?
I enjoyed it. So we found out that Charlie Day's character had been sort of using the neural link thing, because they did it in the first film. They sort of connected with the thing.
Yeah.
To try and find out what their intentions were or something.
Yes.
Didn't really work, or I can't really remember what happened with that.
No, it did work, but I think it worked too much with him because he had like a proper link from then on.
Yeah, it became like a drug type thing, didn't it?
Yeah.
He went a bit crazy.
Yes.
Started to think like a kaiju or something.
Yeah. I think he kind of got like taken over by the aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the aliens were the one that... Were they aliens? Something from a different place.
Different dimension or something.
Sent the kaijus over to then see if they could take over them.
Yeah, so the twist was, I guess, that he was... They weren't just randomly coming back through again. They hadn't found a way to open the thing up. He was somehow opening the links.
Yes.
By using the drone ships.
Yes.
That he'd sort of commandeered.
Yeah.
So he was opening back up the things that they'd sealed in the first film.
Yes.
And they were coming through. And then they were just going to go... they were just going through the cities. They weren't actually attacking cities.
No, they were going for like a volcano or something.
Right. they're all aiming for a certain blaze.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how they didn't spot that the first time around.
Yeah, but, true. That's a good point.
Yeah, and then the idea is, I guess, that they go to that place, and then their blood is like explosive or something. It contains a lot of energy. There were some things.
And, science, bitch.
Yeah, I think the idea was that they would sort of fall into the volcano and terraform the Earth,
yes,
ready for the other aliens to come through or whatever. I thought that actually kind of worked for me.
Okay.
It sounds a little convoluted, yeah, but at least it's an explanation of what's going on. It's not like just random giant monsters coming through.
True. I just thought it was weird how, like, to see Charlie Day as, like, evil scientist. Yeah. I was like, well, what? Because, like, Sunny in Philadelphia, it's always Sunny. He plays such a silly role, doesn't he? And he always plays those kind of roles. To see him as like a villain, it was like, what?
Yeah, that was all right. That was all right. I enjoyed that. He was a little bit more of a serious character, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah,
a little
bit. I suppose so.
I mean, that's the spoiler.
That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it. All right.
So let us know if you watched this film and what you thought of it and what you rated it.
Yeah.
This is the Oasis. It's a place where the limits of reality are your own imagination. People come to the Oasis for all the things they can do, but they stay because of all the things they can be.
So Steven Spielberg's adaptation of Ernest Cline's much beloved book Ready Player One hit UK cinemas on the 28th of March.
Yes.
So this was also a screenplay by Ernest Cline, which is an interesting thing we'll probably talk about later.
Yes, we will.
Yes. But the synopsis is, when the creator of a virtual reality world called The Oasis dies, he releases a video in which he challenges all the Oasis users to find his Easter egg, which will give the finder his fortune.
And control of the Oasis.
Ooh, ha ha ha. So this film stars Ty Sheridan as Parsifal / Wade, got Olivia Cooke as Artemis, Ben Mendelsohn as Sorrento, Lena Waithe as
H.
I never really knew how to say her name. TJ Miller as Iruk, Simon Pegg as Ogden Morrow, and Mark Rylance as Anorak / James Halliday. So we've got to say this before we start the review. We are both huge fans of the book. We've both read this quite recently.
Yes, I read it on our cruise to the Mediterranean.
And I read it in about 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
I gobbled this book up.
Yeah, I read it quite quickly for me, to be fair. Like, I don't read it quickly.
That is true, yeah. So, initial thoughts after leaving the cinema? Because we got to see this at a special Cineworld Unlimited screening.
Yes.
So it's been a couple of weeks now. Maybe a week. I don't
know. Yeah, it's a little unfresh at this point, but it's cool. I mean, so feelings going into the movie. I love the book, but I wasn't super hyped.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm generally disappointed by adaptations. So I was like, I don't want to be too excited about this.
Okay.
I was definitely interested to see how similar and different and everything. And yeah, I was sort of excited to see it.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't let myself get too excited.
Yeah.
So coming out, I did enjoy it. I think it was a perfectly passable sci-fi action romp. perfectly passable sci-fi action romp. Yeah, it was okay. So I have some positives and some negatives.
Right.
The positives, I enjoyed a lot of the characters. Mostly Halliday and Parsifal I really enjoyed.
Okay.
And I enjoyed a lot of the references, obviously, but in a more kind of, in a very instant gratification kind of a way. You know, it's like that.
Oh, it's him. Oh, yeah,
instant. There's the thing. There's the thing. It's like candy, isn't it?
Yeah, really? True.
And then the negatives of that is the same thing, really. Instant gratification. It's like, it's quite superficial.
True.
It wasn't much sort of, it was basically nerd porn. It wasn't
fair
much.
Fair.
Yeah, it wasn't really woven into the story. It was just sort of eye candy, right? In the book, I felt like the pop culture had more meaning to the characters.
Yes.
Like, I felt like they really cared and they were actually doing it because they wanted to and stuff. Whereas in this, I didn't really get that feeling so much. Maybe. Yeah, it just felt a little bit watered down, a little bit dumbed down, maybe. Like, it was kind of made more for the masses.
Right. There weren't so many obscure references in this. There weren't so many sort of 80s games, like arcade games.
And it was brought much more up to date and everything. And it was just more of a kind of like an action thing. And there wasn't much. There wasn't a whole lot of, like, thinking to it or anything.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. That's basically. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
Going in, I was apprehensive because I love the book so much. much. Yeah. I thought, how are they going to bring this to life? But I was also excited to see it on the big screen. So coming out, I initially thought, I'm going to read out my notes here. it was like an amazing and fun ride, if that makes sense. So amazing action sequences. There was a really great racing scene. There was amazing giant battle at the end. So much nostalgia, Easter eggs. I found it was hard to not enjoy yourself. But then again, there wasn't a lot of time exploring the oasis. And I don't feel like they fleshed out the main characters enough. Like, you didn't really feel that connection with them. They felt a bit superficial.
Yeah, it was the whole instant gratification thing, wasn't it? It was like a lot of eye candy, but not much feels. And
depth. Not much feel. Yeah. So overall, it was, no, I loved the ride, but I didn't quite, thinking about it a bit more, it wasn't quite what I wanted. Yeah. I don't know.
I agree. Right. Wholeheartedly.
Okay. So performances. So let's kick it off with the main characters. So Ty Sheridan as Parzival/Wade. What do we think of him?
Yeah, I thought it was a good cast. I would have liked to see more progression in his kind of look throughout the film, because he kind of started more like a just kind of like a fat kid and end up more like a lean.
He had this whole transformation in the book, didn't
he? I felt like he did anyway. It wasn't explicit, but I felt like he did, and in this it was less obvious. I felt like less time passed in this in general.
Yeah, definitely.
Than in the book. Mm. Which I felt they could have done a bit better, but anyway.
But I thought it was a great lead. Olivia Cooke as Artemis/Samantha.
She was alright.
Yeah, I feel like their relationship, they had so much more time in the book to develop it, whereas in this film they were just kind of like the whole, what were they called, the high five. So they were a lot different in the book. They didn't really know each other, did they? They only knew like their avatars. Whereas in the film, they were brought together, like, in real life, IRL, very quickly. So a lot of, like character progression just
got lost.
Yeah.
I feel like there's ways that they could have done that better, because a lot of films succeed in that, you know? So I feel like they just missed a beat there, really.
Mm. But I really liked Lena Waithe as...
H. Yeah. What did you think of, like, Helen versus H, though?
Oh, yeah, that reveal was quite big in the book.
Yes.
And here it was just like, oh, okay.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. Oh, hi.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi. Yeah, but I thought she was great.
Liked Helen.
Yeah.
H kind of wound me up a bit visually.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Not visually. I thought you couldn't quite understand the voice very well.
Yeah, maybe. And also he was supposed to be like this brilliant thing, like building robots and things. It wasn't anything like that in the book, right? I mean...
Anyway, we should stop kind of comparing.
They added extra stuff
to the book. Yeah. So Big Bad Sorrento, Ben Mendelsohn. So he's previously been in Rogue One and he was very good at villain duty. And I feel like in this he was also very good.
Yeah, I think he was okay. I don't think he was what I was expecting, but I think it was fine.
So the big two. So we've got Ogden Morrow, Simon Pegg, and we've got James Halliday as Mark Rylance.
Yes. Ogden Morrow, I actually thought Simon Pegg did all right. Yeah. I thought it was fine. I felt like he
wasn't in it very much, but then...
So, yeah, it was kind of... Yeah. You find out something. But again, that wasn't made super obvious.
No.
Just felt like it could have been a little bit more... Yeah, anyway. Halliday. I really liked Halliday, actually.
Yes. I really liked his character. Mark Rylance. He was really good in... what's the one you didn't see? Dunkirk. The one that got away. I thought he portrayed him really well. He did the whole shyness and awkwardness really well. And
yeah, I did feel like they went too far in that direction, though.
Okay.
Like, because I feel like he was way more on the spectrum in this than I felt like he was in the book. Okay. I may have been projecting there or something. Right. But I felt like in the book he was at least part sort of... visionary, you know. I felt like he was at least part sort of Steve Jobs kind of marketing guru almost kind of thing, and then plus the
feel like, because in the book he was like this Steve Jobs figure, and then all of a sudden he cut everyone off.
He created the whole of the Oasis, he's a genius. Yet they just kind of portrayed his quite sort of subdued character and
his autistic
autistic nature, maybe. Yeah, I felt like they could have, I mean, I enjoyed that, but I would have liked them to have a little bit more depth to his character than just that side of it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you didn't really spend that much time with him, surprisingly.
Yeah,
which was interesting. And anyway, we've got a new character, I believe. So TJ Miller as I Rock. Interesting.
I-Rock was in the book.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't a big character in the book. Right. Like, he was one of the ones that was kind of like following them around, trying to work out what they were doing.
Oh, was he? Was he?
He was one of the ones in the basement. Yeah.
Yes.
I think.
Okay.
He was invited to the basement, and he kept like taunting them and stuff.
Yeah.
In this, I actually really enjoyed his character.
I thought he was really funny.
He added a lot of much-needed sort of comedy relief.
Yeah,
it was good.
Very like deadpan. He was like Deadpool in this sort of thing. His role in Deadpool. I just thought he was hilarious.
Yeah, it was one of the few things that I would say was probably better.
Okay, next.
Okay, story. So there were a lot of changes, right?
Yes.
I feel like it went too far in the direction of action.
Okay.
Whereas the book was more of kind of like an adventure
slash riddle.
Riddle type
like
thing.
Like mystery sort of thing. Yeah. You had to figure out these different keys and the riddles that went with them. Whereas this one, it was very visual and they just kind of went with it. They completely forgot the whole gates as well. Mm. They found the keys and that was it. They didn't have to figure out like the riddle afterwards.
They literally just stepped through, didn't they? They just, oh, there's a gate. Stepped through. Yeah, they lost a lot of that cerebral stuff.
Yes.
Just left it behind. Just we're going full action, guys.
True.
Yeah, which I'm not sure that I was that into, really.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have liked it to be more of a slow burn, closer to the book. I feel like maybe Ernest Cline is a great author, but maybe he's not as much of a great screenwriter. Is that harsh to say?
The thing is, like, Steven Spielberg, he's known for, like, these huge films, isn't he?
Yeah.
This is basically a love letter to, like, the films and 80s nostalgia and stuff. And I feel like they kind of threw that out the window. They wanted to go down the whole rebellion route. So the whole way through, it was like this big chase. They had to, like, defeat the clock and stuff, and it wasn't like that in the book. It was a race against time, but they took their time working out these clues and riddles and things.
There was like a reverence in the book, wasn't there? A reverence for these things. Whereas in the movie, they skipped over everything and they were just like, here's the thing. Yeah. Nothing was really that important.
Yeah.
Nothing felt like it was that important.
No.
So there was definitely a loss there for me.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I have to say about the story, to be honest.
Okay, so let's talk about VFX. So what did you think of the look at the Oasis?
I thought the look was okay. It was very CGI, but it's one of the few cases where it actually makes sense to me because it is a CGI world, right? It's a fake world, so it would look fake. So I felt like in the book, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I was kind of projecting, like I said before, but I felt like everyone had like a human character and then they kind of augmented their human character with items and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
So they could make themselves look like a wizard or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, they were kind of like massive orcs with kind of weird metal bits. And like Artemis's character looked almost like an elf or something. And it wasn't, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe just focusing on the kind of look of it rather than the substance again, which I felt was maybe a theme.
Right. For me, I thought the Oasis did look amazing, but they just didn't spend enough time in there because they had so many different worlds in the book. I know you can't physically go through everything in the book, but I feel like they explored it much more. In this film, they just used like references and stuff, which was amazing to see. I loved like that final battle scene, all the different things, and also that amazing, I think it was the Jade Key with the whole Shining thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anymore because I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but that was visually amazing, I thought.
Okay, yeah.
So there were some good things, Chris.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. The scale was off. Like, in the book, they sort of teleported around and there was a lot of different planets and each planet had multiple like copies of everything on it, and it would have been nice to just get like some glimpses of like a planet with a copy of the hometown all over it kind of thing. That would have been kind of cool. But yeah, I think they missed a trick there as well.
So soundtrack. So it had a very 80s soundtrack. What did you think of this?
I enjoyed the soundtrack. I felt maybe it was a bit sparse. Was it a bit sparse?
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like they could have put so much more into it. Because in the book, they had like a whole load of references to like, I'm trying to remember who it was, like Rush.
Yeah.
So many different bands and things. And I kind of felt like they were missing the musical element in there. But I did like the opening sequence. Mm. I thought that was great, hearing the song. I don't want to spoil anything for anyone because there's so many Easter eggs in there that I found so much joy in like seeing and hearing. So I don't want to go too much into it, but...
Yeah, I feel like as well, part of the reason might be that they couldn't get the licenses to this stuff. This is something that we should have talked about kind of visual effects and everything, I suppose. Part of the reason why they couldn't do certain story things, maybe because they couldn't get the licenses to them.
Oh, maybe.
Or maybe like they couldn't do Rush because Rush didn't want them to use their yeah, music, you know. So that could be okay. That could be the case. But I do feel like it was pretty sparse mostly.
Yeah, mostly.
So yeah. Should we talk about Easter eggs and stuff?
Shall we do a spoiler klaxon from now on? Because I feel like we've been quite good for us.
Fairly
we
good.
Spoil it most things.
Okay. I hope that's true.
Yeah. So, sure. So yeah, spoiler warning from now on. I would highly recommend seeing this film. So yep, go out, see it, and then come back and take another listen. I'll spoil it.
I would say though, read the book first.
I'm not sure. Okay, yeah. So Easter eggs, changes to the book, deaths, ending.
The first thing I would mention is the logo. I mean, this is like an obvious thing, but...
Okay.
Just because, you know. But I guess everyone knows this, but it's like a maze, and you can like trace through the maze and find the egg.
But,
do you know that?
Okay.
It's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. I'm sure everyone knows that, but I just thought it's cool. Yeah, a lot of Easter eggs, quite a lot of window dressing, wasn't it? But
yes.
The final
battle was just full of it. Was like try and spot all the different ones at the set. It was insane. Yeah.
There's Serenity.
There's Halo. Oh. There's Master Chief. There's Overwatch. There's Lara Croft. Oh.
There's various robots.
There's Iron Giant. Yeah.
There's Gundam. You know?
Yeah, true.
I mean, it was cool. It was fun, and I would watch it again and enjoy looking for those things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very superficial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, I heard this. I was just watching an interview with Ernest Cline, and he was saying that the visual effects studios were just dropping things in without even asking.
Really?
By the end, they were just dropping it. They were like, oh, they didn't get any kind of direction or authorization. They were just dropping in random stuff.
Okay.
So apparently they dropped a gremlin in there, and
really?
Spielberg had no idea. And he was like, fine. You can drop it in.
Yeah. I did like the alien reference. I thought that was great.
Oh, yeah, with the hand.
Yeah. Just personally, yeah, I thought that was really good. Also, the Chucky, that made me laugh. You know how they had different, they picked up different, like, bombs and things throughout the game.
They were like, what do they call those? They were like special items, weren't
yes,
they?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
And one of them was Chucky. That was
brilliant. You just kind of set him off and he starts murdering people.
Murdering everyone. That was terrifying. Right. So, I think that's pretty much everything on Easter eggs.
I mean, yeah, I think Easter eggs, pretty much all we can say. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there, but go find them, you know? I certainly didn't spot them all, so I would need to watch it again.
Differences to the book.
Differences.
Yeah, do you super quickly want to go through this? Because it would probably be
pretty
boring.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there was very little that was the same.
Yeah.
I mean, he did explain it in the interview that I watched. He was like, a lot of this wouldn't work for a film.
Oh, okay.
And so we knew straight away that we had to rewrite it, and he was doing drafts of it quite early on.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't necessarily agree. I think they could have made it work a lot closer to the book than they think.
Well, the thing is, I think you're right with the whole they wanted to bring it up to date, because in the film they had so many like arcade games that they had to pass and beat to get through. They had like Dungeons and Dragons, they had Joust.
It was all very old school, wasn't it?
It was, and I feel like a lot of people wouldn't quite understand.
Yeah, but even if you're going to bring it up, like, you know that first challenge was, it was like a race.
Yeah.
And then there was King Kong in it.
That was amazing. And, I'm sorry.
No, but for me, okay, here's the problem for me, right? It wasn't.
T-Rex.
Yeah, but it was just like random references. It wasn't a specific game that will make you go, that's nostalgia. I really think that's cool.
Like a whole...
It was a mishmash of things, and that's pretty much the movie, right?
Okay.
It never kind of went focused on one thing at any point, and but I guess they did that because they wanted the mass appeal and everything, but I feel like it lost for it.
I feel like they, because they didn't do the whole flick sync, is that what it's called?
Flick
you know
sync.
Where they had to say the lines with a film, they had Ferris Bueller's Day Off and they had to memorise all the...
I feel like that would have worked quite well.
What was it, Monty Python?
Yeah.
They also had War Games, was it? I feel like that would have come off quite well. Like, visually, that really would have worked. So I'm not sure why they got rid of that, because I actually quite enjoyed reading that.
Yeah, again, I think that's probably just because they couldn't get the licenses. But I'm sure there's something that they could have got the license to and made it really cool. So, I'm kind of bummed out about that, really, because that was an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I felt like the book was written in a way that would have worked as a screenplay, personally.
Definitely.
So I don't
I feel like it was made for film, to be honest. Yeah. So, we've also got The Rebellion. That was a bit odd, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, just adding that in there.
I feel like that was kind of shoehorned in a little bit.
Yeah, there was a lot of shoehorning. They just need a lot more development on everything, really. Like, I never felt like anything grew to the point where I was like, oh, yeah, this is amazing. You know, it was just kind of, oh, here's another thing, here's another thing. So, yeah, that was kind of disappointing.
We also had Dato's death in real life.
Yeah.
Which was a big, like, it was a big thing in the book. Mm. And he was one of the High Five, is that what they were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's High Five. I mean, I'm just guessing at this point.
But yeah, that was one of the big threats for people actually going against IOI.
Yeah, so they could actually kill you in the real world and stuff.
Yeah.
And, but again, like, Dato and Shaito, was it Dato and Shaito? Dato
and so.
Something like that.
Yeah.
In this, they were just kind of extra characters, weren't they? That you didn't connect with them at all, and they didn't kind of build their story, which is a shame.
Mm. So, we've been talking about this for about 20 minutes, so let's wrap this up.
Okay, can we talk about messages really quick?
Oh, you always want to shoe in messages.
Like, I think it's important. If you get,
like, okay, like 30 seconds, go for it.
Okay, well, I would say, like, that I felt like that actually there was a tonal shift from the book to the film. I felt like the book was all about, it was almost like a libertarian viewpoint, where we are the guys that are trying to save the Oasis. We're going to stop you from interfering with it.
Yeah, like and big almost like
net neutrality or something. We're going to keep the net neutral and we're going to stop the big corporations from taking over.
Advertising,
you know?
Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In the film, right at the end, they were like, oh, and then we went in and we changed everything.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. Well, I don't think that happened in the book.
No, I feel like at the end in the film, it was basically saying, you should be looking at real life instead of looking at this.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, in the book, I think, I can't actually remember at this point, but in the book, I think the main characters, Parzival and Artemis, they started to spend more time in the real world with each other.
They met in the garden. And that's fine. In the mansion.
And that's great and everything. But in the film, they were like, okay, then we shut it down on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
So now everyone has to sit in the real world, even if they don't want to. And I don't appreciate that, actually. I think, like, experiences are experiences. If you're gonna, I mean, the real world can be a bad place. Like, some people don't want to sit in the real world all the time, you know?
Right.
So you should be able to just go to your safe
place.
Happy place, whenever you want. Shutting it down on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I don't think that's a good message. And it's quite authoritarian as well. It's like suddenly taking control and being like, you can do this and you mustn't do this and you can't actually do this because it's shut down. And I didn't enjoy that. I thought, like, I preferred the more libertarian viewpoint.
Oh.
And that's my message from this film that I took.
Message
and I
from
was...
Chris. Story
time. Story time. From Chris. Yeah.
Okay, so let's round this off then. How would you rate this film then, Chris?
I'll give one thumbs up. I enjoyed it, but it was, yeah.
it was, yeah.
It couldn't compete with the book, in my opinion, as so often is the case,
yes.
I feel. Just because in a book you have so much more time to get to know your characters and everything, and you have much more kind of freedom with your imagination to decide who is like what and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone comes along and like directs the whole thing and tells you this is how it is, it doesn't necessarily match with your viewpoint of what that was. Also, I would say, like, read the book before seeing the film. Thank you.
Okay. How do I follow that up? Is the question. I had a real fun time watching this film, and I feel like that's pretty much what it was supposed to be honest.
Yeah, it was a fun romp.
It was a fun romp, and it was great seeing all that Easter eggs on the screen. So yeah, I just thought it was fun, lots of nostalgia, lots of references. Yeah, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, so, it was what it needed to be.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, 1.5 thumbs up.
Okay, fair play.
So let us know what you thought and what other Easter eggs you found.
Yes.
That is definitely interesting to go back and have a look on.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch it again and see what I can find.
So this week's special guest is Lily G, who plays Cadet Maylin in Pacific Rim Uprising. I hope you enjoy. So welcome, Lily G from Pacific Rim Uprising. How are you doing today?
Yeah, great.
I bet everything's been a bit mental at the moment, hasn't it? Because the film's coming out here on Friday, I believe.
Yes. So yeah, like with jet lag and many meetings and interviews, it's actually just been great.
So first question, what can you tell us about your Pacific Rim Uprising character?
Okay, so her name is Mei Ling Gao. She's from China, and she's that kind of type, works really hard, studies really hard to get the top score in order to get into PPDC, you know, the international department. She's kind of like a tomboyish, that kind of girl. Yeah. She's very determined and competitive. She's like, if you boys can do this, so can I. So she pushes really hard.
Nice.
Like train hard as the boys and all that. So yeah, she's that kind of type. But also, she's like definitely not a nerdy girl. She's not a nerd. She just works really hard. That's the only way for her, you know, to get there, to pursue her dream.
Definitely, yeah. So what can you tell us about the film, if you can tell us anything?
it's a brand new world for sure. And we have bigger Jaeger's new technologies and definitely bigger kaijus. And something surprising this time, too. You will find out in the film for sure.
A little bit of a teaser. So what was it like wearing those suits when you're controlling the Jaegers? Because they look a bit uncomfortable, shall we say.
They're actually very heavy and just kind of like, you know, like the boots. It's kind of like snowboarding boots. And the whole thing's like in one piece. So if you, you know, every time if you want to go to the toilet, it's really difficult. Like, yeah. Takes a long time to get it off, to put it on. But they're like all tailor-made, so at least they're fit. But it's just very heavy, I guess.
Yeah,
and hot.
Oh, bless. So if you could design your own kaiju, because they have just crazy designs, don't they? What kind of monster would you pick?
I don't know. Maybe dragon-ish shape. Yeah, because I guess like dragon figure is always like in our Chinese, you know, tales and all that, the stories. So I somehow, if I picture a monster, definitely the shape was kind of like close to dragon, big, you know.
Yeah,
a combination of all.
So kind of going back to the origins of the film, so it's kind of based on, like, you know, Godzilla, King Kong, that kind of thing. Were you a fan of those when you were younger, or were you more sort of Power Rangers?
Probably not so much of Power Rangers, because we didn't really have much, or maybe I just don't remember. In China, because I grew up in China, so we had definitely King Kong's for sure, and yeah, like the monsters, definitely. But for Power Rangers, not so much. And we have some Japanese monster films too. Slightly different names. But we still grew up with that. And Transformers series, for sure. We grew up with that. So very familiar. Definitely big fan of those, you know, like monster, fighting back monster films. And, you know, sci-fi and futuristic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to see it kind of back on the screen as well, isn't it? It's just a bit fun.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So kind of looking at famous creatures or robot, like Transformers or something, what kind of thing would you love to see in the next film?
Well, for this one, it's like already very different from the first one, because technology advanced. And I think like in the future, I don't know, something... maybe even like the Blade Runner, or like just more combined, I guess, like the robots with human and with all those kind of things. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. So did your MMA and sort of dancing background come in handy with this film, because it's like action packed, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely helps me a lot getting to the movement. It's like already there, all the muscle memories. And then training. So for me, I just feel like it's easy, like in terms of actions and you know, like heavy workout stuff. It's just very easy because I've been training all the way through. And it's like, oh, great. Finally, something I'm pretty good at. Just have fun.
Yeah. So did you get to do a lot of your own action scenes and when you're in the cages and things?
Well, Well, you have to find out very soon.
Very nice. Nice answer.
Sorry.
That's all right. Going back to set, though, you've got quite quite an interesting cast there. Do you have any funny stories you can tell us from set at all? Because you've got some quite comedic characters, haven't you?
Yeah, like, first of all, it's just great to have this very multicultural cast. And also, like, for crew members, it is from, like, around the world, which is great to work in that kind of environment, because I'm a big pusher for, you know, like, diversity and multilingual, multicultural, that kind of collaboration. So that's just great. And secondly, you know, with all those amazing casts, like Charlie Day and all those people, John Boyega, so young but so talented, and it's like already a producer, and Scott, everyone. It's just great to work with. And the young talents, our cadets, they're slightly younger than me. But everyone just so professional and just so fun to work with. And we basically trained every day during that half year. It was just crazy, like training every day. We'd do stuff together every day, and eat together. We go watch films and do stuff all together, just like living in the military real. It's just so fun, and just eventually you have all those friendships. It's just great. It's gold.
Yeah, sounds really nice. So what was it like working on Transformers in kind of comparison to Pacific Rim?
Well, that's because that's my beginning. After I returned back to China, it was just a tiny little thing. It's just a taste of how it's like to work with Hollywood team. But yeah, like, I still remember Michael Bay was like really surprised at the beginning. Oh, you speak English really well. I was like, oh, thank you. That's my memory with him. And yeah, it was fun. And it was like a big scene as well in Beijing. We did it. So I can't really say much about it because it's just very small. But it was great and fun to do. And finally, all the way through now, it's like, you know, to watch myself step by step, getting to bigger roles and more important parts, and get approved and, you know, acknowledged by the industry and people, which is great to see that. And now finally, you know, it's another achievement, and like compared with before, definitely. So, yeah, this has been great.
Yeah. It's the last one. Are you working on anything else at the moment following Pacific Rim?
Afterwards, I finished two films, one Chinese and one's like another co-production with the America team. Our producer is Roger Corman, and with Ernie Babaraj, who's our director, and with like Scott Atkins and Andy Ahn. So that one's a new co-production, and I'm about to start a new TV series in China as the lead. It's a comedy, finally to showcase my talent in comedy. So much fun. I'm really excited. Yeah.
Great. So if anyone wants to follow you on social media, what are your handles?
Instagram and Twitter.
So if they just type your name in, they'll come up and find you.
Yeah, Lily G. Yeah, it should be, because it's all like verified, so it should be easy.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much. We really look forward to seeing Pacific Rim Uprising.
Thank you so much for today.
It's all right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So, Hulk topic time.
Hulk topics.
So this week we're going to be talking about our favourite book to film adaptations. So, Chris, do you want to kick it off with yours?
Sure. I mean, for me, I can't really remember that many, but for me, it's very much hit and miss with these things, isn't it?
Definitely.
Mostly miss, okay, to be honest, in my case, because I don't know, I feel like you read the book and you have certain ideas about things, and then you get to the adaptation and there's always things that bug you. There's always like in Harry Potter. I liked first Dumbledore, second Dumbledore. Crap.
Hashtag not your Dumbledore.
not my Dumbledore. I feel like he just, anyway.
He was angry, Dumbledore.
Yeah, he was.
Did you put your thing in the thing,
energetic,
Harry?
Energetic and just, like sports Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Sports mode. Well, I think one of my favourites is actually Ender's Game.
Okay.
Because it felt kind of like the true book. True to the book. Felt kind of true to the book, and, you know, and stuff.
And stuff.
And there
okay.
wasn't much egregious kind of stuff in there that annoyed me. Yes. So yeah, that's okay. all I can think of yeah. right now.
I think for me, it definitely top has to be Lord of the Rings. I think they okay. did that so well.
Yeah, I would disagree on that one. But...
Sorry. You just aren't a huge fan of Lord of the Rings, really, are you?
I read the books, I loved them.
That's oh really? Great. Okay. Yeah. Oh wow. Interesting.
Yeah, but I just felt like the whole movie thing was just, oh my god, it's here, we got to go to the tea, oh my god, oh I'm so sad all the time. Shut up. Oh Frodo, what's wrong with you, Frodo?
Yeah, I was saying Sam and Frodo. Frodo. Okay. So Lord of the Rings for me. Some of the Harry Potter films were really, really good. So book 3 and 4, I think, were my favourites. So Prisoner of Azkaban and what's the one with Triwizard Tournament?
The Goblet of Fire.
That's the one.
Yeah, I like those. And I liked Order of Phoenix. I think the middle ones, yeah. I like those the best, yeah.
Yeah. And also Hunger Games. I really like that book, except for the third one. That's there true. Was a bit of a difference between the book and the film, and I got so invested in the book. When you see it on the film, it doesn't quite reach that.
That's the thing. I really like those films. Actually, Hunger Games.
Yeah, they were but actually, yeah, for...
I haven't read the book, so it's hard to kind of, you know, you don't have yeah. that same...
connection.
Yeah. Because we went to see that thing recently, didn't we? And there was a girl crying in it.
Oh, yeah.
The Maze Runner.
The Maze
thing.
Runner.
That must have been a set of books.
I've read those books. I just didn't connect to them as much as the Hunger Games.
Right.
But yeah, you've got like Divergent, those sets of books as well, which I read. I read quite a lot of YA novels or anything. I just thought the Hunger Games was... They did it really well, and Jennifer Lawrence was just amazing.
Yeah, she's great.
Swoon. The other one I think would be The Disaster Artist, because I thought that book was great and the adaptation was really good as
Again,
well.
I haven't read the book, and you got it for me.
It's interesting. But, yeah. I'm reading it instead of you. This is normally what happens.
Yeah. I struggle to read a book after I've watched the film. That's the problem.
Yes, that's my problem as well.
Because I think there was a Michael Crichton one where I watched the film and I didn't enjoy the film. And then reading the book, I was just thinking of the film and I couldn't get through it.
Yeah. I think you've got to do it the other way around. You've got to read the book first and then watch the film.
First, or certainly I have.
What about Jurassic Park? That's the, you're a huge Michael Crichton fan.
I don't think I've read Jurassic Park just because, okay. I've seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway, so we asked you guys on Twitter what your favourites were, and I think there was like an outright winner. I think Lord of the Rings was quite a highly regarded one. Yeah. Jack of the Geekstalk at Jack Geekstalk said, "The Lord of the Rings trilogy was a pretty good adaptation. I know it left loads out, but great films." And then we went to talk about The Hobbit, however. I mean, I loved The Hobbit books, but it was such a tiny book and they stretched it out to 3 whole films.
Yeah, it was a bit
added
too much.
New characters.
But I preferred The Hobbit films to Lord of the Rings.
Okay, I suppose the tone probably is a bit lighter, right?
The tone is much different. Yeah.
Okay.
It's more of an adventure rather than just doom and gloom. I don't like doom and gloom.
But yeah, we went on to talk about that with Real Film and X Geeks. There were also other podcasters and websites if you want to go check them out. It's pretty good. But Ben from X Geeks did make me laugh. He kept commenting on our criticism of The Hobbit, and he said, "Wouldn't you agree with The Hobbit's criticisms, but you still secretly enjoy them? Did you hear something? Me neither. Good, carry on." I love the gif he's used.
Krista Vaughan at kvaughan737 said, "Silence of the Lambs, stay close to the book from what I can remember. It's been a decade or so since I've read it. Also, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the original Gene Wilder version was great." That's true.
Yeah,
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl.
I think some of his adaptations were pretty good, actually.
I like James and the Giant Peach. That was really good, that film.
Yeah.
Okay. There's been quite a few of the TV adaptations that have been pretty good. There was the tortoise one. I can't remember. Ezio.
I didn't see that. Yeah, it's
that was really good.
The tortoise backwards. Or
yeah.
Whatever,
yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I agree with those. Yeah. So James Edwards at ittattoo23. Is that right?
Sure.
Sorry if I butchered it. So Casino Royale, 2006. So Daniel Craig's best Bond film of his foursome, in my opinion, and one of the best intro moments of a Bond actor. Also very faithful to the source 1953 Fleming book, with some slight changes.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't read any of the James Bond books.
No, I do feel like I do need to. They've got a new writer has recently took them on, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. You
like,
get
a ghost writer, whatever it's called.
In the style of Ian Fleming or whatever.
Yeah.
Your dad's favourite is Casino Royale.
Yeah, he loves that one.
I do like it. I think for me it's like third.
Yeah, they've all been quite good, though. I think Skyfall possibly topped it for me, and then Casino Royale, and then the latest one, Spectre.
I would say Spectre first for me.
Oh, okay.
Then Skyfall, and then Casino Royale.
Wow.
But they're pretty close together, like, you know, they're all good. Yeah.
Except for, what's the Quantum of Solace? We'll just forget that one.
Quantum of Solace.
I can't even remember that.
Yeah. I don't know. Nerds Chatting at Nerds Chatting said, I'm going to say Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Very specific as well.
Yes, just the first one. And what was the first Dumbledore in the first two films? Was it just the first one?
I think just the first one. Not
maybe
sure.
That's why
not
they
sure.
said it.
That's Azkaban is the third one.
Oh, yes. Oh dear. I'm just going to leave now. So Marcus and the Marco guy said, one good adaptation is Jurassic Park. Yes, it changes a lot from the book, but it's still a fantastic movie based on a really good book.
That's cool. Like, I imagine it is a great book.
Yeah,
because
I feel like we need
Michael
to...
Crichton,
have we got it? You've got loads of Michael
I've got
Crichton
a lot
books.
Of Michael Crichton books. I don't know if I had that one. I'm not even sure. Was it called Jurassic Park? I feel like it was called The Lost World or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's look into that one.
And last one, because we've got so many responses, so we don't really have time to read them all out. But thank you so much, but...
Ken Major, at Ken Major 83, said, there's something about old black and white adaptations that I really like. For example, Psycho, To Kill a Mockingbird, Strangers on a Train, Brighton Rock. I do prefer the ending of The Shining compared to the book as well. Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I need to read a lot more of Stephen King films. Books.
Yeah, I feel like the books are probably really good, whereas like that latest film I did not enjoy.
What, It?
No. Oh, that one was
that
quite
one
good,
was really
it?
Good.
I didn't watch
yeah.
it, but I hear it's quite good. Yeah. Whereas there was another one, Dark Tower or something.
Oh, okay.
We tried to watch that and couldn't get through it.
You couldn't get
stop it.
To be fair, I tried reading The Dark Tower and it's like, there's so many books in it and it's so like in-depth. It's quite a difficult
it's like
read.
It's a series.
Yeah, okay. It's a real series. So, but yeah, thanks. So yeah, thanks for everyone for sending in your feedback. It was really, really interesting to read. I do really enjoy interacting with you guys on Twitter. So if you just keep them coming, and it's definitely interesting to talk about Stephen King when we're going to be talking about Ready Player One, because that kind of features quite heavily in the film, which is intriguing.
Yes. Yeah, if we do we'll do other Hulk topics.
Yes.
So if you want a chance to have your comment read on our show, amazing, then just leave a comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to get in touch with us to let us know what you've been watching or what we should be watching, then how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
So the best place to find us is on Twitter, and we will be most active there and we will talk to you directly. Or at least Nicola will.
Yes.
You can also find out, we have a Hulk Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the same on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can find us on YouTube / we have a Hulk.
Yeah.
And you can contact us via Gmail. We have hogpod@gmail.com.
Well done, Chrissy.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
It's not like you practiced.
Yeah, you wouldn't know that was the fifth time.
We also have a website where we post reviews and news. So if you want to go and have a look at that, that's wehaveahook.co.uk.
Woohoo!
Woo! So next week's episode, we're probably going to be doing a Marvel mini because Legion Series 2 is coming today. And 17th in the UK. Boo. But thanks to Fox, we've got some screeners, so
that's
very
cool.
Excited about that.
Okay.
So we'll be reviewing the first episode of Legion Series 2.
Yes.
And guess what else is at the end of the month, Chris?
Another Marvel thing.
Infinity War
Marvel thing.
Yes,
I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Very excited. So yes, once again, thank you so much for listening, whatever.
You're trying to, I don't know how you're watching.
where are you
checking.
The park by us? So yeah,
thanks guys
hope to see you next time.
Bye.